Okay, welcome to another episode of Out the Rabbit Hole here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. We're also on the web at KUCI.org. I'm Robert Larson. We're kind of getting things underway here a little late today. We had a little bit of a complication, but that's all good. So we've been listening to some fun music for about the last 15, 20 minutes, and we've been hearing the theme music of Lucha Vavoom. What is Lucha Vavoom, you may be asking? Lucha Vavoom is a wonderfully wacky and excitingly exotic live show that is going on tonight in LA and tomorrow night in Anaheim. It takes some of the best elements of classic Mexican wrestling, Lucha Libre, and of a classic burlesque show and creates its own updated twist. What? Lucha Vavoom sort of has to be witnessed to be understood. However, we're going to have the creators and possibly some of the performers of Lucha Vavoom talking to us today to try to give you a little bit of an idea. Before we get going with them, I'll quickly remind you that the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the KUCI staff or management or the UC Board of Regents. And if you want to give me some feedback on the show, I always appreciate that. You can email me, rglarson@kuci.org. You can also catch me on MySpace, and that's myspace.com/outtherabbithole. So I believe we have Liz on the line. Liz, are you with us?
Yes, I am, and Rita's here too.
All right, great. Now, can you both talk, or is there just one line?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear. That's Rita.
We're both here.
All right. Great. Great. Welcome. It's so great to have you. And I had heard about Lucha Vavoom for a few years and was never able to make it until last year. You were doing, was about December, November somewhere? You did some in L.A.?
Last October.
October,
Halloween.
Yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, and so and I was just like, wow, this
Halloween's
is what
insane.
Yeah, this is what I've been waiting for all my
this
life.
Everyone's first, really. Wait till you see what we have in store for you this time.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that. Before we do, let's tell people if they want to go tonight. Is tickets still available?
No, it's sold out.
Okay, but that is the Mayan Theater in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Okay, how about tomorrow night in Anaheim?
I think there's some tickets left for the Grove.
Okay, so that's the Grove tomorrow night in Anaheim. What time is that?
Starts at 8 p.m. Yes.
Okay, and so that's right close by here to us in Irvine. And I would say if they don't have a ticket to get in tonight and they want to just go down there to L.A., and I'm sure just outside after the show is probably some fun things going on, right?
You know, it's worth coming down just to see the lowrider car parade. And sometimes there's scalpers out in front.
There's what?
Don't tell anybody I told you that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. But, yeah, they might be able to find a ticket somehow. And so the website is luchavavoom.com.
Yeah, and we're also on MySpace.
Yeah, myspace.com/LuchaVavoom. Yeah, I think that's where I originally contacted you about doing this. So, yeah, okay. How long have you been doing Lucha Vavoom?
We've been doing it for 6 years now.
Okay, 6 years. And so do you have a short answer for when somebody with no clue asks, what is Lucha Vavoom?
Yeah. First of all, if they've never seen Lucha Libre, this is a great way into it. It's so off the hook. So we take Mexican mask wrestlers, we do four matches, and we also throw in a great girl match. And then in between the wrestling bouts, we have just crazy striptease. So this time we have the Wow Wow Sisters, who do this incredible act from a trapeze. We have Caris, who does a hula hoop. We have also comedy with Blaine Kapach and Tom Kenny. They talk over the matches. So there's never a dull moment. It's like a three-ring circus, but good. But with only one ring.
Yeah. Which makes it even better. And just for the record, this is real, authentic Mexican wrestling. We bring up stars from Mexico. It's extremely athletic and acrobatic, and it's amazing. You'll be blown away the way I was the first time I saw it. I couldn't believe it.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I don't have a voice. I've been doing, well, this is our 18th production. I was screaming so hard yesterday that I lost my voice. It still gets to me every time. It's a surprise to me every time. It's so delightful.
So you two, Liz and Rita, as the creators, are also huge fans, and will sit there and watch the show and get carried away with it just like anybody else.
We do. Absolutely. And,
yeah, we never know what's going to happen. It just blows our mind. The performers always outdo themselves, and I just lose my mind and my voice.
The best part about the show is the wrestlers and the girls, it's like their favorite show they ever do, so they really bring it. They really bring it. All of them love to do the show.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell everybody's having a great time, and this is just like, I want to be here because this is like nothing else. And, it's fun, and it's campy, and it's wacky, and it's kind of crazy. But at the same time, as you kind of already said, these people, the wrestlers, these are real wrestlers, real luchadores. They are athletes. They're very acrobatic. The dancers, they're real dancers. They're all very talented.
Yeah, they're all, most of them are professionals. I mean, all of them are professionals. That's what they do. And the wrestlers, we've had every legend from Mexico, or the sons of, the living legend, Mil Máscaras. We've had Hijo de Santo, the son of the original Santo. Blue Demon Jr., we've had them all the biggest names. Místico made his debut with us. They're all the biggest names. They wrestle in front of anywhere from 5,000 to 27,000 people. I've been at a lucha in Mexico that Cassandra wrestled at. There were 27,000 people there.
Yeah, and I want to get into that, a little bit of that history of Lucha Libre in Mexico and all that. But let's first talk about how did you two get the idea for Lucha Vavoom. How did that come about?
Well, I was working, I work in film, I do special effects costuming, and I was on location in Mexico, and some of the stunt guys were, the stunt guys were wrestlers, and they I didn't really get it until I saw it, but they were telling me about Lucha Libre. They brought their masks, and they were posing with the truck drivers, and I ended up dating one of them for 10 years, and he introduced me to Lucha Libre, and the first time I saw it was in Ensenada. And I was there by myself, redheaded gringo, the only one in the whole place. And the girls were wrestling, the professional luchadores were wrestling, and they landed on my lap. And the other one came and started punching her, and I was just like, oh, my God, I'm so scared, but I love it. I fell in love with it, and I went back and told everybody I knew about it. So then I started looking for a way to bring it to the, L.A. sort of hipster audience, and Rita was working on a burlesque review, and we kind of put it all together.
And you two had been friends for quite some time?
Yeah.
And so just one day he said, burlesque, lucha libre.
And comedy. It's like we bumped into each other and her burlesque got in my lucha libre.
So true. Oh, Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah, it's like a great Reese's peanut butter cup of entertainment.
Yeah, and prior to Lucha Vavoom, there were like little... sort of, I don't know, isolated is the right word, but, Lucha Libre events in the L.A. area, but, maybe in the Mexican community, right?
Yeah, they're pretty much, they don't advertise outside of the Hispanic community, and it's primarily the immigrant community as opposed to the assimilated, assimilated Mexican community. So we never hear about it.
Yeah, but you know what I'd like to add? If you don't mind, when you go to one of those matches in Compton or something, it's all families, and it's such a culture shock because there's little kids and grandmas are hitting the bad wrestlers with their purse, and the little kids are screaming obscenities, and it's really anything goes, and it's really fun. And so when Liz brought me to one of those initially, I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, I can't wait to be involved in this.
Yeah. And it's now... burlesque has kind of always been there, but it's kind of waxed and waned. And can you talk a little bit about the, history of burlesque and how you got involved in that?
I started working in burlesque in 1995 with the Velvet Hammer, and I was with them for a long time. And do you want to know actually about I think the old history is pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, I mean, maybe sort of like, when you got involved in it. And I mean, is it, I know it's kind of like hipsters are into it, but I mean...
It's pretty interesting for me because we were doing this back then in 95. We're doing it at a theater as opposed to, you know, at a strip club or a rock club. We're doing it at the El Rey in Los Angeles. And I've been involved in it so long, I've watched it kind of become a phenomenon, like how punk rock did, how it started out some really good people, and now it's opened up and it's gotten a little bit muddled. And
Rita and I produced Exotic World one year.
So, yeah, you know, like then it gets, you get stuff like the Pussycat Dolls and things that have taken it to the mainstream, so I missed out on that money train. But at the same time, I don't want to do something that, it's weird, it suddenly kind of brought out some feminist things about myself I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pussycat Dolls, just the name inherently is a little bit man toy. Our dancers are high octane. They are. They own it. They do their own choreography. They come up with their concepts. I help a little bit when it needs polishing up or something, but we get people that are so there in every single subject. You know, they've got moxie, they've got the moves, they got great looks and great concepts and talent. So I can, you know, we just come in and tool it just a little bit, if even at all. And so I love that. They're like liberated, which sounds kind of like someone going, oh, I was nude in this movie, and I found it freeing. It wasn't at all exploitative. But
yeah,
you see it, it's not. They really hold their own.
Well, it's like really non-threatening to women because
yes,
it's pure entertainment. It's not. It's more tease than sleaze.
Well said.
Yeah, and it's there's just this element of fun, though, about everything involved.
Yes.
with Lucha Vavoom is what I like, and it's just like, you know, I don't advocate drinking, but it just feels like when you're at the show, you gotta drink.
You can't, yeah, absolutely. You know what, you touched on something. Everybody is having fun, and we're like kind of, it sounds hokey, but like we're really celebrating what we do, and so it's the only thing I've seen in recent years that isn't ironic. There's no ironic distance between the performers and the material or us and the material. We are glorifying, you know, we embrace the brassiness.
There's not even any physical difference between them.
Yeah,
you can have some people in the front row that have midgets land on them.
But it's just fun, and I think it's really necessary today, and you don't find it a lot of places. And it's a pretty tight show as well, so it's just very streamlined for your pleasure.
Yeah,
we take people for a ride. They walk in the Mayan Theater, they climb on the train, and next thing they know, they're drunk on the sidewalk outside.
All right. This is Robert Larson. It's Out the Rabbit Hole, KUCI in Irvine, and we're speaking today with Liz and Rita, and they are the creators of Lucha Vavoom, and this is just a wonderfully wacky show that I have quite enjoyed, and it is going on tonight and tomorrow night, and I know you said it's sold out tonight, but if they just want to kind of cruise on by, what time is that starting in at the Mayan Theater in L.A.?
The cars pull up around 6:30.
Yeah,
we have the
doors open at 7, but we have entertainment even for the people waiting in line. We have a car club called the Cavaliers that have been around since 1948. They're from Long Beach, and they're bringing their awesome hot rods. And they bring the wrestlers and the performers to the front of the building in their awesome hot rods to entertain the crowd while they're waiting. And then the show starts at 8.
Okay, and then tomorrow night in Anaheim?
Same thing, Cavaliers, show starts at 8, doors at 7. We haven't ever performed there before, so I'm not quite sure the routine, but I would imagine it's probably best to get there a little early.
Okay, and you might be surprised. People in Orange County are, they've got an edge you maybe don't know about, so.
I actually went to high school there, so I get it.
All right, well, great. So let's talk a little bit about some of the performers, some of the wrestlers, some of the dancers. Could you go into that a little bit?
Liz, wrestler?
Well, from Mexico, we have Felino, who is part of a very famous family in Mexico. His father is Negro Casas. His father is Pepe Casas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the main referee for AAA, which is a really big organization there, kind of like the WWE. And his brother is Negro Casas, and his other brother is Heavy Metal. So
okay,
he's kind of part of one of those dynasty families. And we have Mysterioso, who is original part of the Rey Mysterio crew from WWE.
Oh, yeah.
They were trained by the same people, and they wrestled together. He was actually part of the family, hence the name Mysterioso. And we also have Cassandro and Pimpinela from AAA, who are, they're called Exoticos. which is the Mexican term for like cross-dressing gay wrestlers. So they represent teen gay pride.
Yeah, well, I was looking at Cassandra's MySpace, and it says El Exotico Más Famoso.
Exotico Más Famoso.
Most famous.
La Reina de la Ring, the Queen of the Ring. That's him.
Okay, yeah. And so who are some of the other wrestlers?
Oh, we have two minis, and they wrestle under different names in Mexico, but they are extremely famous and the best that they have there. And one of them was one of the little trolls in Nacho Libre. He is an amazing, amazing, amazing athlete, and he's about 3.5 feet tall.
Yeah, he.
And he wrestles for us as a baby chicken.
The people love.
Can I say more? We can eat chickens, transvestites.
The mini chicken last night just brought the house down. It was insane.
He climbed up on the speaker stacks and flew on top of wrestlers who are already in the audience.
I can't believe my memory.
Yeah, it's like we take an oath. It's like the next morning you wake up and you're like, did I really see that?
Yeah, he was so memorable at my experience at Lucha Vaboom. And, yeah, just the acrobatics, the athleticism, and, yeah, really fun. And there you have another mini wrestler too, right?
Yes, he's mini Shamu. This time we have the whales versus the chickens. So we have the Shamus, we have Shamu Jr., Shamu 2, and Mini Shamu. And then we have the Crazy Chickens, who are another, like, insane crowd favorite, and they're little mini chicken. So that's one of the matches. And then the other one is Team Mexico versus Team USA versus Team Gay Pride.
And the entry Americas.
Yeah, the entrance for Team Gay Pride is to die for. That's all I can say. It's raining men.
Yeah. So, and do you still have Chupacabras?
Oh, yeah. We got Chupacabras. We have a new wrestler now. It's part of our team. Is El Presidente.
Oh.
I think your listeners would appreciate El Presidente. He's very bad. Can you imagine a mean president?
I can't imagine that.
Babies and stuff?
The bad guys are called Rudos, just for your listeners' information. The bad guys are Rudos, and they don't play by the rules. El Presidente is a Rudo.
Okay. So there's Rudos, and then the good guys are called what?
They're called the Technicos.
Technicos.
Mm-hmm. And okay. They're the good guys. They're the ones you cheer for. The Rudos, you boo.
Yeah, yeah.
You're punk rock, and then you can cheer for the Rudos.
And there's also, you still have Dirty Sanchez?
Oh yeah.
What can you say about him?
I don't know what we can say on the air about him.
Okay. Let's just maybe leave it at that. And so let's talk about some of the dancers.
People are going to lose their minds. We have Michelle Lamore from Chicago. I don't know if you were lucky enough to see her, but the fellas love her. She's got some... She has
amazing assets.
Yeah, I know. I've seen her website. She is quite stunning.
She's something else.
Yeah.
She's really great. She's doing her Snow White.
Oh, wow.
She's so excited to be doing it so close to Disneyland.
So great. And then we've got the Wow Wow Sisters doing the trapeze, which last night, again, with the mini chicken, everybody was on their feet watching the Wow Wows, and we were all crying, and I don't want to sound hokey, but it blew my mind. And I never liked the song Born to Run before, and now it's haunting me. Like, they gave it a new meaning. They do this on a trapeze with no net underneath, and they're so skilled, and it's so funny, and they're just so delightful.
Yeah, when they sent us the description of their act, because they're from New York, they said, it's kind of like a What's Under the Hood. And I was like, what?
We have Caris, who's mesmerizing with the hula hoop.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he'll surprise everybody.
yeah, I remember that surprise.
And don't give it away, though.
Well, we have the majorettes. We have some. I've never seen this done in burlesque before. Two very tall, beautiful girls out as majorettes doing baton twirling, like precision baton twirling and striptease.
It's every man's fantasy.
It really
from high school.
And then I'm on the cheerleading squad. So.
Oh, wow. Great. Yeah.
and then for comedy, we have the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants, Tom Kenny.
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy.
He loves Lucha Libre, and he loves Lucha Vavoom, and he just brings so much energy.
I'm guessing he won't be screaming obscenities SpongeBob voice in Anaheim.
No, it's an all-ages show, so he's bringing his kids.
I got a little bit of a personal story here. Tom Kenny and my brother-in-law were friends, and he brought my brother-in-law, and they took their two, like, 9-year-old sons to Compton to go to Lucha Libre.
Oh, yeah, that's where I met Tom the first time.
So, yeah. So
I met you there, too.
I wasn't at that show, but I just remember everybody talking about it, and, yeah, so that was kind of gotten
Yeah, I took Tom to a big Lucha event in Pico Rivera, and the promoters wanted him to come up and say something in the ring, and he's like, what should I say? I was like, say Viva Mexico, cabrones, in SpongeBob voice, and you'll have them. And you'll have him wrapped around your little finger. And he did, and he just got mobbed. I had his son with me, and he's like, where's my dad? He's sending autographs.
Can you curse in Spanish on an English-speaking radio station?
Let's just not even...
That's not a bad thing.
You said a nice thing. I'm sorry. I won't draw any attention.
Okay, so, yeah, wow, we got these great... Hey, do you still have Ursulina?
That's me.
That is he. Oh my God, you are fantastic.
Why, thank you. That makes me feel good.
No, I was looking at your MySpace page too, and I noticed that you're a fan of the Stooges. And,
oh yeah.
And you know that's the theme song for this show. Every week we open up with "I Got a Right." You know the Iggy Pop and James Williamson sort of post Stooges. You know that song?
Yeah.
I Got a Right.
Well, that's right on.
Yeah.
That's excellent news.
Yeah, so we do that every week, and we just pump it up, get the energy going. And
They're incredible, the Stooges. I mean, that's I don't want to be like a shilling Lucha Vavum every second, but they're such an inspiration to us. Like, we bring that kind of energy. The Stooges influence me.
Yeah, and me and I both have a rock and roll past,
yeah.
And we really believe in the power of rock and roll.
It's true. This show,
like, we like to work with people who are rock and rollers or punk rockers.
Oh,
yeah, you might have picked
okay.
up on that when you came to the show.
Oh, definitely. And I go back to the late 70s punk rock in L.A., so,
you know, I don't want to date myself. I was a young participant of that, really young.
I think you were that 5-year-old I saw there.
That's right.
Yeah. But seriously, you were my favorite dancer. You really were. And, you know, so I know you are, the creator as well, co-creator. Yeah. So very, very cool. And so let's talk a little bit maybe. I wanted to get into this. What is the main difference between Lucha Libre and sort of like American style, like WWF, WWE? I mean, what's the difference?
Oh, there's a world of difference. Lucha Libre, for one, it's always a constant play of good versus bad, which they don't really have in the WWE. It's just big, dumb steroid guy against big, dumb steroid guy.
Yeah.
But it's always a good versus bad. And it's also very much more acrobatic. They wrestle with a completely different style. The American guys have a very difficult time working with the Mexican wrestlers. They fly. They're very acrobatic and agile. They're usually pretty small, like Rey Mysterio in the WWE. Rey Mysterio is the only luchador who's been able to cut the WWE, because the WWE doesn't know what to do with luchadores. They're too small and too fast. They just run circles around the WWE. And that's the main thing, and there's more tradition. Actually, the wrestling started here and went to Mexico, and then they just took it and owned it. You know?
Yeah, and I've seen some of those the movies.
Great. So until, like, killing an evil wig.
And it's just, like, it's so, you know, off the charts, crazy.
It's like Batman. Yeah, like the old Batman series.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be, but weirder than that, even.
Yeah.
And they're fighting vampires and all.
Oh, yeah,
that
my favorite is the Blob, and this Blob's chasing Santo, and you can see the feet shuffling underneath, you know?
Yeah, like at one point they ran out of monsters. They created everything. Then he had to fight Nazis and the Mafia, and the Bermuda Triangle. Somehow.
Yeah, mummies.
Yeah.
Everything.
You name it.
I love
evil midgets, scientists.
I have a friend who grew up in Tijuana, and he said, I don't know, he was probably 8 years old in his, and this guy's like about 50 now, and he said his uncle took him to one of these hardcore Lucha Libre shows in Tijuana, and he said it was like a religious experience.
That's how I felt in Ensenada. My jaw was permanently dropped. I really couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was just like, the characters, the level of athleticism, is that a word?
Yeah.
And everything about it, you know, everything about it. They're not afraid to make fun of themselves, but they take their sport. It's a sport there. It's entertainment. Wait, well, one of the guys had a thing on his MySpace. It said, in Japan, wrestling is an art. In Mexico, it's a religion. In the United States, it's a joke. So that pretty much sums it up.
Well, that is a great, great quote.
I know. I was like, yes.
You know, the other cool thing, you should talk about the masks. Like about
the tradition of the masks. That's really amazing. I mean, there's so many layers to it. I love stuff like that. You know, I initially saw it. I loved it. And then I started learning more and more about the tradition, the mask being handed down from father to son, and you know, the whole thing about not, you know, they will not, they'll take their true identity to their grave. Literally, Santo was buried in his mask. It's very, I mean, some guys break the tradition, but the guys that are, you know, the more famous guys are very serious about it. They won't, you know, they won't give their identity. I had a little incident trying to get into a radio show in Chicago with Blue Demon, and they wanted to see his ID, and he absolutely refused. It was kind of a scene.
Yeah, and it's just this whole vibe and style of the Mexican wrestlers. I mean, it says something about Mexican culture that I think a lot of non-Mexicans don't understand, and it's really fascinating to me in the history of it. And these old, the original Santo, Mil Máscaras, and they were like national heroes.
Yeah. Oh, they still are. Yeah. And Mil Máscaras is like, he's like a god in Japan. Unbelievable.
He's still at it, too.
He's been on our show 3 times. He was in our first show.
Oh, wow. That was so cool.
It was Mil Máscaras and Hijo del Santo in our first show, and we didn't even know if we were going to even sell one ticket, but we went for it. We're like, we need the best of the best. We need our street cred, you know?
Yeah. Hey, this question came to me last night. Are there any plans for a Lucha Vavoom movie?
We would love to do a movie, a TV show, a show in Vegas, and a tour. I think everybody needs
also
to
a comic
have
movie.
Access. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You know, I think it would be so fun to do a film like the old films, you know, just have a blast and do something totally surreal. And, you know, we've not taken it to TV because people want to do reality shows, and this show is about anything but reality. You know, we want to be the escapist thing. We don't want to
especially
be the,
in this day and age.
Yeah. You know, it would be like in The Wizard of Oz if you just saw the guy behind the curtain and you never saw the great and powerful Oz. Like, that's what we want people to see. So we won't do a reality show. We want to try and come up with something better. So we've resisted that. But I think it is, and you experienced it, it's something people around the world would enjoy. And I think in this day and age, Liz is right. We need, people just need to let go and have fun for 5 minutes and not worry about everything. And this is the exact perfect show to help people do that.
Yeah, it sure is. And so have you had any communications with any directors on doing something like that?
Oh, yeah. Quentin Tarantino, Kevin Smith, all these guys have been to our show. As a matter of fact, Jack Black gave us, I could say this because he actually gave us credit in the press for the inspiration for Nacho Libre.
Oh, that is so cool. That is great.
And they started, we helped them with casting, we helped them with everything.
Yeah.
And they sent us to Amsterdam and Las Vegas to do promos for it.
Oh, wait. So now I wanted to ask about, as far as going on the road, I mean, I know you do these shows in L.A. and you're going to go to San Francisco in a couple of days. Have you been around the U.S. or elsewhere much?
Well, Chicago, Toronto, Las Vegas, we did the comedy festival there.
And we went to Amsterdam to do the promo for Nacho Libre.
I think we're doing South by Southwest next year, and we're hoping to be on the East Coast.
Yeah, we may be in San Diego, too, for San Diego Street Scene. We have a really kick-ass new agent. So we're just waiting to hear where we're going to go next.
I guess it's hard to get to pick up 23 people and move them across the country and feed them, house them.
Well, I don't know. You know, people do it in circuses and, big rock acts and things like that. So it's possible. And so, this is Robert Larson, Out the Rabbit Hole, KUCI in Irvine. And we're talking today with Liz and Rita. They are the creators of Lucha Vavoom. And that is tonight at the Mayan Theater in Los Angeles, tomorrow night in Anaheim at the Grove, and any of you listening in Northern California, the show will be in San Francisco on what?
Sunday, this Sunday.
Sunday the 29th at the Fillmore.
Have you had any...
I think the Fillmore might be sold out, too.
It's getting close. act now.
But, yeah, even if it is sold out...
Be there.
You can hang out in the parking lot. Yeah.
Let it settle down. She's getting really antsy.
Well, that's great.
I'm slap happy.
Yeah, I know you probably had very little sleep in the last couple of days.
I've had about 3 hours of sleep.
Okay, well, that's...
I think you're trying to say something.
Okay, well, I do want to ask, you know, on your trips, when you've gone to Chicago and Toronto and some of these other places, any weird things happened as far as running into people on the road and any strange incidents?
Gee willikers. Everything's always weird, but it's mostly in-house weirdness.
Yeah, I could. Those are the kind of stories I can't.
I know. Lucha Confidential.
That's why people want to do a reality show, because it's more surreal than anything.
I think the best things, like when we were in Canada and I went with two of the wrestlers to do an interview at the very serious, you know, Canadian Broadcasting, you know, the public radio up there, a really fancy building. And we were in the lobby, and they're in their masks and very nice overcoats and scarves, and they look so proper and in their masks. And I'm going, this is my life, and this is the best. And they had the same thing. Can you take off? No, I can't take off my mask.
Yeah. So it's. I was just wondering if. I guess you haven't been to any like. Been through smaller towns where you had to stop and maybe people asked a lot of weird questions and nothing like that, huh?
No, I think people would be afraid to ask us questions.
The thing is they look pretty normal when they don't have their masks on and they don't run around with their masks on all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, they won't say that they're even a wrestler when they don't have their mask on. So some of them were, like a couple of them, one of them's a nurse, one of them's a pharmacist, one's a school teacher. You know, they have normal jobs, and the guy who's a school teacher goes to teach with black eyes all the time, and he can't really explain to his kids why he always has black eyes. Like stuff like that.
Well, I remember, you know, when I went to the show in October, afterwards, I went to a little restaurant in Little Tokyo.
Sweet Hero, our favorite.
Yeah, and a bunch of you were there, and I kind of waved. You didn't know who I was. I was just thinking if I hadn't just been to the show, I would kind of wonder, you know, nobody was in costume or anything, but it was just like, okay.
Here's a good story. I picked up a bunch of wrestlers at the airport one time, and we went to the Denny's near the airport, and it was Super Porky, who weighs about 500 pounds, and then Pini Abbas Jr., who's 6'6", and the K-Monito, who's about 3 feet tall. I'm not joking. He's the mascot of CMLL. He's a little blue monkey in CMLL. And two other of the minis. And we walked into the Denny's, and the little kids start freaking out like the circus was in town. They're like, oh my God, what's going on? They're like the little kids in the restaurant. I looked up, and I was like, okay, yeah, like Rita, this is my life.
Well, I am waiting for the book Lucha of a Voom Confidential to come out and
complete with photos and,
and naughty bits.
You know what? I think that's actually a really good idea. I'm going to start working on it. I'm not kidding.
and the movie. So I'll be waiting for both of those.
Well, you know what? We do have Dana Gould, who's going to be working with us more. He's one of our stand-ups, and he wrote on The Simpsons for 8 years, and he's a very experienced, amazing stand-up. He's on the radio all the time.
He does the most unbelievably, like, surreal thing.
He's amazing.
I'm just like, what did he just say? So he's filling my doctors with babies?
But he does. He's going to help us with the comic book and with all the stuff. So
he's a huge fan.
He's incredible. We're so lucky that the comedians we've gotten to work with, the very first Lucha we did was Fred Armisen and Blaine. And then Fred, I called him to see if he'd do the next one. He said, I'm in New York taping a show, and I thought he'd be back. And he didn't tell me it was Saturday Night Live, and he was
a regular
cast. And so we got Patton Oswalt for the next year.
Wow, yeah.
And he's incredible. And then we've had Brian Posehn, Jack Black's come up,
Greg Proops,
Bobcat,
Goldthwait.
Who else? Gary Shandling. Gary Shandling loves the show.
And I have to
say, Joel Hodgson from Mystery Science, thank you.
The banter is great. You know,
yeah.
It's really top notch. The lines, whether they're planned or spontaneous, it's just great banter with your MCs and everybody else who comes up. And so we're just about out of time here. And anything else you want to say before we have to say goodbye?
Well, I want to thank you because this is great. It's really fun talking to you.
Yeah,
and
this
has been
one of the funnest interviews.
It's been okay for your audience, and I hope you come out to the show tomorrow. I'd like to meet you.
I will try to make it. I'm not sure what my schedule is going to be with working and all, but yeah, I will try to make it tomorrow. I had such a great time the first time I went to Lucha Vavoom. And so, yeah, it's been a really fun interview, and I want to thank both of you for taking the time out of what I know is a very busy schedule today. And I will say, go to the website, luchavavoom.com, the MySpace, myspace.com/LuchaVavoom, right?
Yep.
Yes.
And all the details are there. And it's tonight, the Mayan Theater, tomorrow night, the Grove in Anaheim. And thanks again, ladies, for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. Have fun tonight.
All right.
Thank you, too.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
All right, yes, that's Liz and Rita, the creators of Lucha Vavoom, and as you can obviously tell, I'm a big fan of it, and you will be too if you go. I know you, my listeners, like stuff like that, and we're kind of serious on this show sometimes, or a lot of times, so it's fun to just do something that's wacky, and just you got to get out there and do things like that and not be so serious about things. Lucha Vavoom. All right, so got to close it out. This is my new Thursday time slot. So those of you who have been listeners on Friday, I hope you found me. I'm going to be on this Thursday 5 to 6 for the foreseeable future. And got some great shows coming up. So stay tuned as always. Out the Rabbit Hole on Thursdays now, 5 to 6 p.m. And remember, the opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the KUCI staff or management or the UC Board of Regents. KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, also on the web at KUCI.org. Robert Larson saying until next week.